The hour of 10:15 having arrived, we'll call the House Tax Committee to order. When we have a quorum, we will officially call it to order. We have two bills up today, members, House File 812, a Bly bill, and House File 1322, a McDonald bill. So why don't we start with House File 812. Representative Bly, if you could come forward, please. And when we have a quorum, Representative Bly, I'll move House File 812. And then is the 812-83 amendment yours?
Yes.
Okay, so when we have a quorum, I will put that on. So if you could please describe the bill as you present the bill as if it had the amendment on.
Correct. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Welcome, committee, sir.
And, I understand that in the past you may have carried a bill like this yourself. Is that possible? Or?
Well, I'll have to look.
Okay. What this bill is aimed to do is to help beginning farmers get access to land and equipment that would help them get started as a farmer. And although it's not necessarily a silver bullet, it's not going to solve the problem, it does begin giving some incentives to beginning farmers to get a start. And I think this is it's an important concept. We see where every year we lose more farmers, and we have farmers who are older and getting older and finding it more difficult to pass the farm on. And so hopefully this gives some help to those who want to make that happen. We discovered when we were working on the bill that we were talking about not only land but assets that might be sold to farmers. And so what the amendment tries to deal with not including implement dealers or people who are not necessarily farmers, but that took some language to explain that or get that out there. Anyway, so briefly, what the bill tries to do is for residents of Minnesota who are either a livestock producer or beginning farmer wanting to get into farming, it gives them a chance to work with landowners and other farmers to get a foot in the door. So there is a tax credit for owners of agricultural assets. And in brief, 5% of the sale price of agricultural assets sold to beginning farmers would get a tax credit, income tax credit or franchise tax credit, and to the person who sells the asset or the land. And then 10% of the gross rental income in the first 3 years of a cash rental agreement with the beginning farmer, 15% of the cash equivalent in the first 3 years of a share rent agreement with the beginning farmer. And then there's a beginning farmer management tax credit, and allows credit amounts in excess of tax to be carried over to future tax years. And then there's the Rural Finance Authority can carry out certain programs as well to approve and certify beginning farmers as livestock producers, approve and certify owners of agricultural assets as eligible for tax credit in the subdivision, and help beginning farmers to qualify for and participate in approved financial management programs. And refers beginning farmers to organizations that may provide additional assistance to them. And I have a couple of testifiers who'd like to speak to the bill, and they could come forward at this time and maybe present their testimony if that's workable.
Certainly. Thank you, Representative Bly. We do have a quorum, so I'll officially call the House Tax Committee to order. I will move House File 812 and will be moved for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. I will move Amendment H081283. Any discussion? This is an author's amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Simonson moves the minutes. Any discussion on the minutes of March 15th? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Simonson. Okay, item next, we will go to testimony on the bill. We could have everybody testify if you'd like. Everybody that's here anyways. Come on down if you would like to testify. Anyone else? I see Mr. King, Mr. Peterson. Is there anyone else here that'd like to testify? Is there anyone else here? Mr. Lehman is here. Okay. Okay, Mr. Peterson, why don't you come on down here? There's a couple chairs here, if you would, please. Please identify yourself for the record and provide your testimony, sir.
My name is Bobby King. I'm representing the Land Stewardship Project. We're a farm and rural organization. Since about 1997, we've had a Farm Beginnings program. Started out of our office in southeast Minnesota. Some farmer members from Wabasha County approached us about how are we going to begin making sure there's the next generation of farmers on the land. About 600 farmers have gone through that program since then. And not the only challenge, but one of the biggest challenges to beginning farmers is access to land. And that's what this bill is about. There's similar programs in Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. And the concept is oftentimes it's a little more work to deal with a beginning farmer. Their financing is a little more precarious sometimes, and there's often someone ready to pay cash rent or cash for the purchase of the farm. And the bill gives the landowner a tax credit for renting or selling land to the beginning farmer against their income tax. So what that gives is a opportunity or an approach for that beginning farmer to talk to a landowner about, hey, would you consider renting this land to me, or would you consider selling this land to me? It also provides it would be run through the RFA, and the beginning farmer has to go through a business management program or a farm business management program. They got to demonstrate that they have the potential to succeed, so it gives them a tax credit towards the cost of participating in a farm business management program. In terms of an investment, getting a beginning farmer into a rural community, that family will be there for the rest of their life and maybe multiple generations. So that's someone in that community now who will be purchasing from Main Street, whose kids will be going to school there. They'll be participating in the township board and school board. Our state really lacks. There are many incentives to help beginning farmers, so while this won't address fully the problem, we think it's a good beginning and would ask for your support on it. And we've worked with Chair Davids in the past on this, so hopefully this is the year.
Thank you, Mr. King. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, my question really isn't on the beginning farmer, Mr. King, but I do know I have relatives that have farmed in Wisconsin, and one of the issues there, but I've heard it in other places, is kind of retaining the current generation on the farm. It's a different issue than what we're talking about here, but I think when you talk about rural communities and viability of small towns and so on, that's a related issue, and I was just curious if you had any comments in that regard in terms of how you might encourage families that are already farming, but the younger generation to stay. And the farm families in Wisconsin I'm talking about, they're close to the Twin Cities, so there's been an attraction, if you kind of look at where they moved, to the bright lights of the Twin Cities, so to speak. And if you'd care to comment.
Mr. King.
Thank you for the question, Representative Carlson, Mr. Chair. That is an issue. Our Farm Beginnings program, actually, many of the participants are kids who grew up farming, and they want to do something a little bit different. They want to either their parents did corn and beans, and they want to do livestock, or they want to go into more direct marketing. So I think when there are folks that want to farm, helping them figure out how they can make it their own is one way to do that, though not the only way. But when you bring up Wisconsin, it did make me remember that quite a few of the graduates of our program end up going to Wisconsin because land is a little bit cheaper there, right in western Wisconsin. So we are losing some farmers, particularly that might be in southeast, over that way because of the price of land.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, I thank you. I just you know, that's a related issue in my view. If you're going to talk about rural growth and development, how you retain that that generation that's already part of a farm family that are opting for other opportunities, if you will. I think what the answer was is that if you can find ways for them to develop their own direction on the farm, that they might stay. But I think it's maybe a little bit more complicated than just that as well. But thank you.
Representative Daphne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question about the type of farms. You just touched on it with sometimes younger people wanting to go off in a different direction. But there's been some coverage in the popular media about, you can correct me when I mischaracterized here, but the more rapid market growth in organics and the greater return for the farmer on organics, the challenge being the transition of the land from conventional to organic farming techniques. So my question from that is, of the young people using the Beginning Farmers Program, what percentage are going an organic method versus conventional? Do you have any general input on the development and the support for organic farming in Minnesota, since it appears to be a better business strategy?
Mr. King.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, for many farmers, it's a great opportunity, especially for dairy right now. Dairy prices are low. For conventional organics, paying very well, and of course he's paying very well in the future, and actually some organic co-ops are helping farmers do that transition cost. But in our Farm Beginnings program, it really runs the gamut. Some folks are definitely headed in the organic direction. I'd say not a majority are. Ones that are going into dairy are, in our program, are all pursuing grazing, management intensive grazing, and they may or may not go organic depending on their situation. But for many farmers, organic is a great opportunity. This bill doesn't lean one direction or the other that way, but for getting into organics, the transition period, especially for livestock, is very difficult, especially for dairy. But once you can make the hurdle and get the premiums, it's proved profitable for many, many farmers. And there is a lack of product. The organic buyers for milk are aggressively looking for more dairy farmers.
Representative Dabney.
No, that was helpful. Thank you, Mr. King. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for members? Okay, then let's. Oh, I have one question for Mr. King. What day is that breakfast?
The 31st.
Yeah. 31st?
Yeah. And
$10 or something?
$10 for the best breakfast in town. Come early, take your mug. This year, we're going to have on the menu a perennial wheat called Kernza that's being developed at the U of M. It's a product that they're developing for farmers to get more continuous living cover on the land to help clean the water while maintaining profits.
Well, so, being tested, is it okay to feed it to us?
They've already tested it at a restaurant in Minneapolis for a year or so now, so we won't be taking any chances.
I might just have the eggs and bacon.
You can have just plenty of eggs and bacon.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Daphne.
Of course it was tested in a restaurant in Minneapolis.
Oh,
you just knew
that's your friend.
That's okay. Where the experiments would occur.
Okay. Okay, so Ethan, did you get that?
He didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, I do owe someone at the table here an apology. When we went through and we introduced pages and so forth, I mean, everybody knows Rubis and everybody knows everybody. It wasn't Andrew Hasek here. It was Ethan Hellier, who's doing a great job for the tax committee, so I want to welcome him.
Thank
so
you.
That was... That was an oversight of the chair. Rarely happens, but it does from time
to
time.
Mr. Chair, you stole him from me.
Erickson.
You stole Mr. Ethan from me. And then I got Andrew Hasek.
Oh, you did? Oh, a trade, like.
Yes, okay. But as a CA.
Tony Oliva for Roger.
We are, yes, we're trading and buying and selling.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so with that, let's go to Mr. Peterson. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, sir. And we, too, support House File 812. We worked on similar versions of this for many years. Supporting beginning farmers is a top priority for Farmers Union. The idea is to get more farmers, and we know we're losing farmers. The last numbers I saw, Minnesota has about 73,000 farms. We lost, I think it was between 300 and 400 farms last couple of years. The average age of a farmer is 58 years old. When the new census comes out, I think it's going to be 60. We have about 6% of our farmers are about 35 or younger, the last I saw. In addition, another thing that I think is important to this discussion is we're now over the 50% threshold of what's owned and what's rented in Minnesota. Several counties, our land is rented even at 70% and not owner-operated. And so I think that's important to this discussion. Access to land is a critical issue we hear for people that want to farm, whether they're wanting to do a lot of the new immigrant Hmong farmers we work with want to do looking for 5, 10, 15 acres to people on more traditional farms that want to bring in the next generation. That's not a new problem. That's been around for years. What does kind of drive it a lot of times, too, is the land values. We had an excellent discussion this morning in the Property Tax Division of Chair Drazkowski's committee on some of those issues that farmers are facing right now. This legislation is kind of very similar to Nebraska, and I think on the fiscal note it mentions that. I brought a copy of the application that they use in Nebraska for this program. It's the application that the farmer uses to apply for the program, and then the asset owner uses. And I'll just pass it around. I only have one copy, but you can do with it what you want. And I don't need it back. So, but I have worked with our Nebraska Farmers Union and talked to them, and they say it is a successful program. And my bottom line to them was, are there people, you know, farming today that wouldn't be farming without this program? And they'd say, absolutely, yes. And, you know, I think at that time, this was several years ago, it had brought in a couple hundred new farmers into their program. So that's important. It also works with the RFA. Farmers Union also supports and for a lot of people on the committee, I always say I want you to know about the RFA, or the Rural Finance Authority, that operates within the Department of Agriculture. They have a beginning farmer loan program. This is a different, it's a credit, and they also have an Aggie Bond program that helps farmers. But I think this credit idea is interesting also for the landowner. A lot of times they just face a hard decision, you know. When prices are high, and some of the times the land's worth $1 million or more, and, you know, to get the highest bidder, but you want to bring in the next generation, having some kind of incentive is important. And so I thank you for your consideration and urge your support as this discussion goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Any questions for Mr. Peterson or any others for Mr. King? Okay, and Representative Bly, you are correct. I have worked on this one in the past, and it's tough because if you want to get into farming, it's so tremendously capital intensive that the question becomes, if you have that much money, do you really want to do it? And if you really want to do it, how do you get the money to move forward? So some good ideas here. Other questions for Mr. Peterson, Mr. King, or the author? Okay, then I will move House File 812 as amended. I'll be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Bly, Mr. King, Mr. Peterson. Thank you very much. Okay, item next is Representative McDonald will move House File 1322. And Representative McDonald, there's an amendment. Is that your amendment?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman.
Then Representative McDonald moves the H1322A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, so please describe your bill, Representative McDonald, as been. But I'm sorry, before we do that, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on behalf of or with concerns? Department? Mr. Cummings, I should ask you on the last bill. Do you want to talk about 812? Because if you did, it's too late.
Nice.
Too late. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Representative McDonald.
I do have a testifier that will say just a brief, couple of brief comments regarding
Okay, why don't you please join us? Is there anyone else? Okay, we have House File 1322 as amended before us. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. This bill, or this particular idea, was brought to me by a constituent that lives in the Annandale South Haven area, far-reaching district area of my district. Anyway, what this does is provides a sales tax exemption for herbicides used under an invasive aquatic plant management permit. Only purchases by a lakeshore property owner or association of lakeshore property owners are eligible for this exemption. And I would like this to begin, God willing, if this passes, to take law by July 1st of this year. So this would be, my intent would be a point of purchase sales tax exemption for those members, for those folks who are purchasing these pesticides to deal with aquatic invasive species. Just keeps in mind, it gives them more money in their pocket to continue this mission of cleaner lakes. And I think it's a great idea, and I do have a testifier. Mr. Forrester has just some numbers, some financial numbers that you'll hear in the millions of dollars by private citizens who has bought into this great mission of clean lakes. Usually it's in their own backyard, so it's into their best interest. So he has a little numbers that will give you as to the kind of financial numbers that are talking about with the sales tax.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Yes, my name is Jeff Forrester. I'm Executive Director of Minnesota Lakes and Rivers Advocates. We represent lakeshore people, homestead, cabins, resorts. We have over 150 lake association members, and I drive around the state in the summertime and speak at a lot of these meetings, and this is kind of a big deal for some of them. You know, these are people, the lake associations, I think, if you take them collectively, we did a survey back in 2012 and documented close to $5 million annually that these people are contributing out of their own pockets to do all kinds of work on the lakes. Treat for invasive species, hire boat ramp inspectors, put out buoys for safety, fish stocking programs, lakeshore improvement efforts, habitat projects, even fireworks on the 4th of July. And, you know, something like this, I think, would be a real acknowledgement that we value the work that all these groups are doing across the state. There's over 450 lake associations in the state that we've been able to document. And they make a huge contribution, and this is a recognition that we value that. And as Representative McDonald said, it gives them more money that they can put back into the ground, you know, on the ground in projects to protect lakes.
Any questions for the testifier or the author? Okay, then Representative McDonald renews his motion to House File 1322 as the matter be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus tax bill. That's our agenda for today, members, but if I could just mention a little bit about next week. We'll probably be looking at some federal conformity issues next week. We're hoping to have Governor Dayton's budget proposal so that we could put that before the committee. So to the department, I'll be working with Mr. Cummings to see when we get it and just when we would schedule it to your convenience, Mr. Cummings. So. With that being said, is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, good government all the time. We are adjourned.